Morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, July 6th, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever you are listening. Never a dull moment in the life of Nick Kyrgios, that is for sure, and a huge night for Australian tennis ahead with Kyrgios and Alia Tomjanovic looking to make the final four of a Grand Slam for the first time at Wimbledon as well. And we're waking up to this news this morning. That Kyrgios, the Canberra Times reported, the 27-year-old set to appear in court August 2 on an allegation of common assault against his ex-girlfriend relating to an incident last December. Not too much more we can say. Through one of his solicitors who has emailed a statement to the media, says that the allegations are not considered as fact and he's not considered charged. But anyway, he is set to face court August 2. Just the news you need, isn't it, Loz? Heading into a huge game at the All England Club tonight.
I'm sure he could do without it, Nick Kyrgios. But those are the allegations. So he'll have his day in court to be able to defend himself down there in the ACT. Obviously, it's a domestic issue. And Nick Kyrgios at the moment is over there in London playing Wimbledon, and he's playing some really good tennis, and I'm sure this news would have rocked him last night, our time, but he has a game of tennis that he certainly will focus in on and get this competition out of the way and then obviously zero in on these charges, these allegations, and sort of go to court and see what happens from there. But, you know, there's no denying that he's a firebrand on the court. He polarises a lot of people, Nick Kyrgios. He's through to the quarterfinals, and I think a lot of people, I don't know whether it be split 50-50 or 70-30, people wanting him to get beaten, or how many people would like to see him win and go through to a semi-final.
I think, morning to you, pup, I can't help but say I want him, despite his antics, still want him to win.
Hmm.
He's still there as an Australian tonight, so you want him to win?
Yeah, but I don't think there'd be a lot of support out there for him. I'm like you. Yeah. I want him to win. I think it could be 50-50, but I reckon it'd be a lot of people out there that don't support him and don't want to see him win.
Morning, Pop.
Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. So I'm just a little confused here. Can you help me, please, Mido, for my own education? So he hasn't been charged, his lawyer's saying, yet he's got to go to court.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense to me. The other thing that doesn't make sense to me is the incident happened back in December.
Mm.
And he's being charged now, or he's being told about it now? Did Nick know about this, do you reckon, back in December? Or have police had this information for a while? I just don't know how it works. Like, if there's an incident 12 months ago, can someone still
I'd say they'd be charged
for that?
It. I suppose the allegation was laid then, but then
was laid in December.
It was probably laid in December, and then they investigate it and then try and get to the bottom of it and then see whether any charges should be laid or not.
Well, I think all these details are still to come, Clark. I'm gonna sort of join the dots and say a reporter at the Canberra Times probably looking at the list of appearances there at the ACT Magistrates Court, saw Nick's name on it, and have gone backwards from there.
So you think Nick's probably known about this?
Potentially, but okay. Reading between the lines, but I, you know, don't want to say too much, but perhaps.
Yeah, heavy. Again, you know, I think we've discussed this on a few occasions on this show, in and around dealing with any sort of issue in private is one thing, but then once it becomes public, it goes to another level. And even if, you know, if Nick did know about this at the time or did know this was coming, it shines a spotlight on you. So it'll be hard for it not to affect his performance tonight. You know, there's so many, like I say, when something goes into the media, it's really hard not to, you know, to take no notice. And I think we all at certain stages say, you know, we don't care what other people think. You know, your mates, your family, your friends, they know the truth. But, you know, even if you don't read about it, somebody close to you is reading about it, and they will generally ring you to check you're okay, or, you know, they'll tell you what's been written. So it's not like you don't hear about it as well. So I think this is, you know, right, wrong, guilty, innocent, that's one thing. But for me, this is a massive test for Nick Kyrgios tonight. You know, you talk about mental strength. And again, I think I've said it a million times. This is what made Shane Warne the greatest I ever saw. The way he was able to leave things off the cricket field, walk out onto that stage and perform, and then once he come off the cricket field, go and deal with it, was freakish. And this is going to be one of those things for Nick he has to face right now. You know, can he leave this distraction, a very big distraction, off the court and go and play his best tennis like he has been doing in this tournament so far?
And just having a look at the market with Tabby's $1.18, so he's a hot favourite to reach the final four. Christian Garin of Chile, $4.40. Alia Tomjanovic, a slight outsider, around $2.50. When I last checked, $2.50 with Tab against the 17th seed from Kazakhstan, Elena Rybakina, who's $1.50. And they've met once before, those two. Kyrgios and Garin have never met, but Rybakina beat the Aussie at the Madrid Masters last year. That, of course, being on clay. Pup overnight as well, or last night, England cantered to victory. Yeah, against brilliant. India by 7 wickets, thanks to an unbeaten 269-run partnership between Joe Root and Johnny Bairstow. Root 142 not out, Bairstow 114 not out. That's the largest run chase in a fourth innings in England's history to win a test match. And thankfully, it beats the 359 they got famously off the bat of Ben Stokes at Headingley, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah. Class win. Unbelievable innings from both Joe Root and Johnny Bairstow. England deserve so much credit again. Their attitude, the way they come out and play, their attacking nature, they've, you know, call it new captaincy, call it new coach, whatever it is, they are there to try and win. They are not scared of losing anymore, which is the complete opposite to what they were when they come to Australia on their last tour. They don't fear losing. They're going to have a crack at winning, which is a great sign for Test cricket. And I think England are going to, you know, you'll see them go from, I think they're ranked 7th or something in the Test Championship at the moment, or 6th. You'll see them go straight back up to the top of the tree. They keep playing like this. On the other side, India were poor. Thought they're batting in the second innings. They probably had the opportunity to, you know, to not take things for granted and score more runs and bat England out of the game. But even still, with 370 on the board, I watched the start of yesterday and I've got no idea why India wanted to change the ball. The ball they started with was reverse swinging. It was quite soft and it was reverse swinging. And then about 7 overs in, they went to the umpire and complained about the ball. They wanted it changed. And generally when you're changing a ball, it's because you want a harder ball. Or if the ball you're using is doing nothing, there's no swing, so you think, get a new one, shine it up, and we'll get it the swing. But the ball India had, the fact that it was soft and it was reverse swing, it was going to make it hard for England to score. And that's what I said to you boys yesterday. The key for India at the start of day five was to try and minimise the amount of runs that got scored before that second new ball. And they had about 20 overs to bowl, or 23 overs to bowl, I think, with that old ball, and try and get that ball to swing some way, the natural swing if it was overcast, or reverse swing if conditions were dry. And it was reversing. So I had no idea. I think that was a massive mistake India made. And in the end, probably wouldn't have mattered the way Johnny Bairstow and Joe Root batted. But even still, when two blokes are in terrific form, you need any advantage you can get. So if the ball's swinging, hang on to that.
They would have paid a price for, like, their bowlers in particular coming off the IPL, wouldn't they? And not having a great preparation leading into that game.
It would have played. Yeah,
that
definitely
would have hurt them, wouldn't it, for sure?
Definitely plays a part, yeah. Loz, but
they're on top, though.
Mate,
they
you look at that match. It's harder to lose that test match than win it from the position they're in going into the second innings.
So but for the bowlers wise, it would have been tougher, wouldn't it? Like, they're coming out of an IPL.
It's a one-off test for them as well. Like, generally, if that's a three-test series or a four-test series for England, for India, different story, but one-off test match. And a lot of their prep when they'll at the back half of the IPL, their test bowlers would have been getting the workload up in the nets and things like that. They just haven't got, they haven't had much test cricket in the lead up and playing in these conditions, but it's a one-off test.
Fair point.
England looked brilliant.
Yeah, mate. And England had those three tests against the Kiwis.
Yep.
Their prep, I reckon, would have been a bit better. But you're right. You know, India, we come to expect them to win in any conditions now, not just at home. And that would be a poor loss for them.
Well, that's going to be the challenge for England now. I've read a fair bit this morning around what certainly what Ben Stokes is saying in regards to how they're playing and their attitude. And I think there was a little comment that, oh, I wish India got a 450 run lead to see what we're going to do. I just, slow and steady, England. You're playing in your own backyard. Just, I know it's rainbows and butterflies at the moment with this aggressive approach, but you know, let's see how you go against the Aussies, or let's go to India and play India in India. I think that might be a little bit different. But at the moment, you know what? They were brilliant against New Zealand. This is a very special victory. So, you know, if you're going to gloat now, they deserve to, I guess.
12 months, we'll be over there. The Ashes series, not that far away.
Well, they'll be tough over there.
It'll be different, won't it, Clark?
Tough over there, yeah. I think, again, you know, for me, and this is a good example, even the same team that they brought to Australia, a different attitude, a different approach, you know, that lose the fear of failure or the fear of losing, and we're all better. You know, it makes you a better player. It just gives you so much confidence when you can get that fear out of your head. And, you know, that's, call it coach, man, management, leadership, whatever it is, that's the key. That's how you get the best out of your players. Release the fear, let them play their natural game, and back them to the hilt. And I know it's only just begun for Stokesy and Brennan McCullum, but that's all they've done. They haven't turned Johnny Bairstow from an average player into a great player by going to the nets and batting for 10 hours. It's mental. It's just, you know, releasing the shackles and let him go and play his natural game, back his natural ability. That's all that's happened.
Okay, back page of the Courier Mail, and Reece is the word is the headline there. So news yesterday. Well, firstly, News Corp reported that Charles Nicholl-Klewstar is off home to New Zealand to join the Warriors and will be released from the last year of his deal at the Raiders. So therefore we went, well, what's going to happen with Reece Walsh? Then as part of that report, it's being reported that he's heading back or set to land at the Broncos. This hasn't been confirmed yet, but the Courier Mail and a News Corp journalist saying that he's set to go back to the Broncos, where, of course, he left, was yet to play a first-grade game there, but left to get opportunities, went to the Warriors, and we know what he's done there. So that means the Dolphins miss out on another player as well, Loz, and a spine player. You know, they desperately need 1, 6, 7, and 9, you would think, for next year. And, well, this is a massive blow for the Warriors, first and foremost, and a blow for the Dolphins. And what a coup for Kevin Walters and the Broncos, should it be confirmed.
Well, if he goes to the Brisbane Broncos, that just adds to their young talent that they have up there at the moment. And the Broncos are playing some really good football. They've got a number of guys representing in the Origin arena. And they're developing a strong football team, and Reece Walsh will add to that. Obviously, very disappointing if you're a Warriors supporter, the fact that they signed this young kid. They offered him plenty of money, got him signed. They thought he was going to be the long-term replacement for Tuivasa Sheck, and now he's saying to them that he doesn't want to go over there to New Zealand. And the fact that they've signed Nicholl-Klewstar from Canberra, that suggests that this deal will go through. You know, Charns obviously can't see a way forward there with the Raiders with the emergence of Xavier Savage. So, you know, he's received an offer from the Warriors to go back there and play. So that's a nice fit. But, yeah, they'd be disappointed that Reece Walsh will not play for the club, because he is a talented kid, so much potential. We see him on the verge of Origin selection last year. He was part of that Game 2 squad for Origin over there in Perth, and now for him to be turning his back on the Warriors and going to the Broncos, obviously the Warriors would be very, very disappointed. They'd be shattered, in fact.
Yeah, and just on the text line, Reece Walsh is going to cop some blowback for this for sure, should it obviously be confirmed. Hey, boys, Reece Walsh is gutless. The Warriors gave him an opportunity on big money over there after his off-field discretions, and now they're going back to New Zealand. He wants out. No name to that one. But I'm sure he said not too long ago and almost bristled at the question when he was asked, you know, whether he was going to go to the Dolphins and not go back to New Zealand. He said, no, I'm going back to New Zealand.
Well, he said he was going to honour his contract. Yeah. But circumstances change. We all realise that. And he'll be grilled about why he doesn't want to go back there now compared to what he was when he was asked this question 6 months ago. Look, the Broncos did have him in their system and they couldn't find a place for him in their top 30, and the Warriors did. So that was good recruiting by the Warriors, but as it's turned out, you've got to be able to keep them once you get them on your books. The Warriors could have played hardball and said, no, you're coming over. But then you've got a disgruntled player in a different country. He's only a young man. He's got a child. A lot of things you've got to take into consideration. So, and Chance has obviously got an opportunity to move from the Raiders over to the Warriors. So that suits them. They've got a mature age player. But I'm sure they would have been building a lot of the future around Reece Walsh.
Now, front page of the telly today is the news. Front page, by the way. Nick charged with assault is the headline there. And a few texts here, you know, people getting stuck into the media and to us here. But look, well, I'll read this out. Fair dinkum, boys. Typical from Aussie coppers or media bringing up charges at this time. No more to promote themselves than anyone. Hope it doesn't throw Kyrgios off and goes all the way. Come on, Aussie hambone. Look, while I understand people say this is a conspiracy, and you know, I don't think the media was there waiting until Nick Kyrgios made a quarter final at Wimbledon to break this story. Reporters, you know, report what they learn, whether it had been through a, you know, finding out through the courts in the ACT or finding out through a police source or whoever they found this story out about. You get approved by it legal internally at their news organisation, then they report it. It's unfortunate, you know, it's come today.
And the other thing about my concern with this, Mido, is this is the thing that I've always said with when something touches the media. I feel, and maybe because I've sat on the player or the athlete side, so I feel like in Australia, it's like as soon as it touches front page or back page, that the athlete's guilty. And then he has to go and prove his innocence, right? Where I think, you know, for me, I think I've made my feelings clear about Nick. I think there's certain things that he has done that, you know, I don't ultimately love. But for me, with something like this, he has to be innocent until proven guilty. You know, and I think that's the only thing I worry about with something like he's got to play tonight. So he's going to have to do a press conference after the game, win, lose or draw. He's going to be questioned on it. There's certain people in the media that don't like Nick Kyrgios are going to go hard on him. So he's in an awkward position. And that's why I really hope he can actually leave this off the court, go and play his best tennis and then try and deal with it as best he can. But I just hope for everyone's sake, let go of your opinion on Nick and how you feel. With something like this, it's so important that, you know, we allow it to play out. If he's going to court, let's see what happens there. But we can't just assume because it's in the media and we're sitting here talking about it that, and forget the person, forget whoever it is, that they're guilty. You know, I think you've got to start innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, that's the law in this country, and I think everyone should accept that. The fact that the assumption of innocence should always be given, regardless of who you are. Let it play out before the courts, and then we find out what the outcome will be. Just going back to on these, why would they release it now, the news, when he's in a quarter final? I don't know whether the media would have done that in the past or not. I'm unsure. But I know in today's environment with so many platforms, once you get that story, it's hard to keep it under wraps for a long period of time. And you're breaking it first. That's the way that they operate today. And I'm sure that would have been over time as well. But because there's so much, so many ways you can source your news these days and everyone's looking for the scoop and everyone's looking for that, I've got it first. Once this was found out that Nick Kyrgios had these charges against him, it was always going to be out there straight away.
Yep.
They weren't going to hold it back and wait for him to make a quarter final at Wimbledon.
Nah, spot on, Loz. So, yeah, that's tonight. It's going to be because that British media, can you? they're already just hammering him.
I think there's a big part over there, Mido, that love him, though, mate, to be honest. I think he's one of those players. I think there's a big part of the England press that they love what they get from him. They love his honesty. They love that he's different. He does his own thing. And there's the same here in Australia. There's a big part that does love him for him being him completely. But Yeah, trust me, when you polarise, there's plenty that don't like you as well. So you got to accept that. You can't take the good media and not want the bad. You can't take the positive press and not take the criticism. Unfortunately for him right now, it's probably not a lot he can say because it's going to court. But he's going to have to take the questions. And that's the other thing. I hope he turns up to the press conference. Don't run from it. Don't hide. Whatever the situation, even if you can't answer the questions, sit there and say that as many times as you have to. Don't run from it. Front it.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll be at that news conference after the match. Well, he has to, unless he, but he, you know, knowing Nick,
yeah,
he'd pay
you're
a
not
big,
meant to wear red shoes or a red cap either.
He'd pay a big fine just not to, but I think Nick will be there.
Yeah.
Quartz and all, the headline on the back page of the Herald as well. Kyrgios and Tomjanovic fly the flag for Australia in the Wimbledon quarterfinals tonight. Can they go all the way? Let's hope so. We'll speak to Roger Rashid for a full preview of those quarterfinals later this morning. On the back page of the telly, Blues put smiles on the dials, and great to see them at Lismore yesterday. Got quite emotional too when the mayor of Lismore was telling them about what's been going on in the recovery and floods that they've been dealing with in northern New South Wales there. And also on the back page of the telly, legends say veteran the right coach to clean up Tigers. Mr. Sheens, and you're quoted here about your old coach Loz, Tim Sheens, that perhaps in the short to medium term, he should take the reins.
I think he'd be perfect for the job. I said yesterday that I don't think it's a job for a young, inexperienced coach. I think it's a job for an experienced person. Tim Sheens is as smart a football brain as anyone I've had anything to do with. He's had a big part of the Raiders' success. A lot of the Raiders players wouldn't have turned out to be the players they were without his influence. Tactically, he is one of the greatest minds I've ever come across. He knows how to build a club. He knows what it's like to have success. He's been through the ringer a number of times himself. He rides the wave as better, or if not better, than anyone else. All these experienced coaches, they've been through every scenario you can think of, and nothing fazes them. And I think if he gets a younger coach in there, he can help mentor them. He can wear all those bruises that, you know, might come along the way over the next 2 or 3 years, help set the place up with this young assistant coach, and then have him take over, you know, as a succession plan. That's the way I see the Tigers going forward. Rather than getting in someone that's untried, untested, let's give him a go. It doesn't work out in that 18-month period. You're in the same position you are now. The board gets a little bit edgy. They're not getting the results. What do they do? Do they stick solid, or do they go, you know what, we're going to go down another path again? Or whether they look at this system where you've got Tim Sheens, a man who's coached at every level of the game, he's had success at every level, give him time to build, mature a squad and have them ready, set up for the future of the West Tigers.